This is Fresh Air. Netflix has another drama series premiering tomorrow, and it's one that has ties to House of Cards, the streaming service's first big original success story. That series was executive produced and its first episodes directed by David Fincher. The same is true of this new series, which is called Mindhunter. Our TV critic David Bianculli has this review.
Producer-director David Fincher is attracted, for the most part, to stories and characters that are dark and complex. That's certainly true of Mindhunter, the new Netflix police drama series. But his path to get there is pretty straightforward. Way back in 1995, Fincher directed Seven, the ultra-spooky serial killer drama starring Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman, who played detectives on the trail of a murderer played by Kevin Spacey. Then, 4 years ago, Fincher directed the first two episodes of Netflix's House of Cards starring Spacey, who, like Fincher, also served as an executive producer. And now, Fincher, the guy who helped make Netflix a respected player in original TV programming, returns to the network with a new drama about the hunt for serial killers. Mindhunter begins in the late 70s. It's adapted by Joe Penhall and based on a book by John E. Douglas. Douglas is the real-life FBI investigator who, under another name, is one of the two protagonists at the center of this TV drama. Jonathan Groff, who played Jesse on Fox's Glee, is Holden Ford, a young FBI agent with bold new ideas about how to learn from imprisoned murderers by interviewing them. Holt McCallany, who played the boxer on FX's Lights Out and was also one of the boxers in Fincher's Fight Club movie, is Bill Tench, the veteran FBI instructor who thinks young Holden may be onto something. But after Holden tests his theory by visiting the so-called co-ed killer in prison, their FBI boss, played by Cotter Smith, is furious and threatens to demote and even fire Holden until Bill, the veteran, speaks up to defend him and his approach.
Sir, permit me to speak. I trained Holden because he was transferred to my department. He knows his criminal psychology. He's done his homework, worked his butt off, and now I think he's onto something.
Onto what? He made friends with the co-ed killer.
If any of this is going to work, we need to talk to more subjects.
More? No, no, no. What's next? Charles Manson, when's he booked for?
We were thinking June.
I think it's right. We need to use whatever resources.
Resource my ass, Bill. What's the matter? You bored with golf?
California jails are full of thrill killers and lust murderers.
And we put them there. That's our job.
Dying and rotting on the vine.
Cry me a river, Holden. All the wasted potential.
It is wasted potential, sir. It is, because we could be using these people.
Using how?
Their knowledge and insight.
Of what?
Themselves.
Whose selves?
Then we might know what we're talking about when we speak to other law enforcement.
Can you make him shut up?
I have not been able to do that, sir. How do we get ahead of crazy if we don't know how crazy thinks?
This new approach to solving crime was novel in the 70s, when the term serial killer had yet to be widely used. But on TV, fighting for a new way to catch killers is nothing new. Discovery Channel did it earlier this year by showing the institutional battles that had to be fought so that the Unabomber could be hunted in a new way in the miniseries Manhunt Unabomber. Netflix's Mindhunter is the same type of story. There are crimes to be solved, but the internal politics and policies are just as big a part of it. And for Mindhunter, an even bigger part of it is when the FBI agents visit prisons and sit down for intimate chats with the captured killers. The first time is when Holden visits Edmund Kemper, the co-ed killer, a soft-spoken giant of a man played with unshakable creepiness by Cameron Britton. The real-life Kemper not only killed several people in succession, but murdered his own mother, then continued to take out his rage on her corpse. Yet to Holden, this chilling killer comes off as deceptively average, until he doesn't.
I was a regular guy most of my life, with a nice home, nice suburb. I had pets, I went to a good school, I was thoughtful, educated, well-brought up young person, there's no question about it. But at the same time, I was living a vile, depraved, entirely parallel other life, filled with debased violence and mayhem and fear and death.
Wow. Certainly seems to me like you had your own unusual...
An unusual M.O. Sure?
Well, I was gonna say, signature.
An oeuvre, if you will. You could study it. You could spell oeuvre, can't you, Holden? You know, there's a lot more like me.
Do you think so? People that kill in sequence like you did.
A sequence?
One right after another. At regular intervals. I've just been calling them sequence killers, if you will.
Mindhunter is the story of the formation of the FBI profiling unit, and the mysteries are less about murder than about motive. What drives the mass murderer in particular to commit such awful acts? And can anything be done to predict and prevent them? After events as recent as the mass shooting in Las Vegas, these questions are almost painfully topical, even though this drama is set in the 70s. Holden, the central character, is almost entirely passive during the first two episodes. He's less dynamic and has less memorable lines of dialogue than his partner, his boss, his new girlfriend, a psychology graduate played by Hannah Gross, and certainly the first killer he gets to meet. But I don't think that's a knock on Jonathan Groff, who was a scene stealer in Hamilton on Broadway as King George III. His character of Holden, like Mindhunter itself, is intended to reveal itself at a more deliberate pace. One of the show's major stars, Anna Torv from Fringe, doesn't even appear in the two episodes previewed for critics. But Netflix already has renewed the series for a second season, so Mindhunter can take its time. The opening hours, directed by Fincher, are fascinating, even while they're in no hurry to tell the origin story of the FBI profiler. There are a couple of montages, in particular, that are beautifully assembled, showing the two agents on the road trying to teach their theories to local cops and detectives who, for the most part, are resistant to them. But their new approach is precisely what makes Mindhunter so compelling. Most TV crime dramas are whodunits. Columbo famously reversed things by starting with the murder and making it a howdy get him. Mindhunter, in contrast to both those approaches, is all about motive. It's a why done it.
David Bianculli teaches TV and film history at Rowan University. His latest book, The Platinum Age of Television, From I Love Lucy to The Walking Dead, How TV Became Terrific, is now out in paperback. Mindhunter begins tomorrow on Netflix. If you'd like to catch up on Fresh Air interviews you missed, like our interviews with Noah Baumbach, who wrote and directed The Squid and the Whale, Francis Ha, and the new film The Meyerowitz Stories, or Dexter Filkins, who wrote the New Yorker article Rex Tillerson at the Breaking Point, or Jonathan Eig, who wrote a new biography of Muhammad Ali, check out our podcast. You'll find those and lots of other interviews. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, Heidi Simon, Teresa Madden, Mooj Zaidi, and Thea Chaloner. I'm Terry Gross.
I can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous and I can't relax. I can't sleep cause my bed's on fire. Killer, can't you see? Ba 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 ba.